Hey, what's up, guys? We are finally back proper after many false dawns. This is No Gatekeeper, and I have one of my good friends, Thomas Falcone, with us.
Hello.
He
It's an absolute
is,
pleasure.
yeah, man. Thanks so much for coming on. He's very well known, not only but very well known for Shawn Mendes' work, Camila Cabello, Christina Aguilera. You know, all the big hitters, if you like, but you have,
A wide range, a very wide range,
yeah,
actually.
you have, many more arrows to your bow than
Yeah,
just
thank you.
some of the biggest pop stars in the world.
Yeah.
The reason I wanted to kind of restart No Gatekeeper with you is because I know you very well. But we were just talking before we hit record, but it's kind of rare, and it's embarrassing is the wrong word, but to sit with friends who are in similar positions to you and kind of delve into the deep of why you where you are, what are you doing at the moment? Because I don't know, I think me and you are very, very similar in lots of ways in terms of photography has been a really important part of my life, but it isn't a defining part of my life. So to be able to create something like No Gatekeeper where I can actually ask you these things, this is a format to ask you and kind of delve into it is one of the reasons why I made it. So yeah, thanks
Yeah,
so much for
no, I
coming.
love that. But I think also to touch on the topic of maybe people not communicating, some of these, aspects of our lives. Maybe this is also a form of, opening up and normalizing these conversations to other people as well, which is, hopefully what people can do after listening.
For sure, man, for sure. I mean, so there's like a million things that I want to touch on with you that I feel like people will benefit from hearing from you. Some of these questions you will have answered before. Some of these questions maybe not. I mean, I'm kind of gonna freestyle it a little bit. I have
Yeah,
touched
of
on it,
course.
but yeah, we'll kind of just vibe. I know one thing that I'm gonna keep us in present day for now, and then we'll go back a little bit. But
Cool. Yeah.
I know one thing that me and you have bonded over in past years, and Matty Vogel as well, actually, is kind of like the January scaries.
Yeah. How did I know you'd bring that up? As I'm walking around my apartment with just my sweatpants on, thinking, wow, like what, how did we get here? But yeah, I mean, and I'm sure you know, but maybe like the wider range of people don't understand necessarily how slow sometimes like the holidays and like the top of the year becomes. But I do, I think it's like I always try to look at the negatives into like more of a positive situation. And I always find the community bringing things, in a negative light more to like a positive sense, because this is a time period where like people communicate better. They like reach out to their friends a little bit more. They kind of like reflect and they, also dive deeper back into their work to see like what their potential goals are for like this upcoming year, but then also maybe like revamping their website and like getting to do things that they didn't really necessarily have time to do last year when they were so busy. But now that we have the downtime, I think people are, kind of looking at it a little differently now. And I'm not sure if like that's how maybe you view it, but it's kind of something that like I've like trained my brain over the last like 10 years of like, all right, don't get depressed and like don't fall into this trap, but look at that time period to like focus on things that I wouldn't be able to do if I was like on the road or super slammed at the moment, so.
Yeah, I mean, j just for context for people listening, like g generally speaking, like especially music world will be like quite quiet in January, February.
Yeah.
Like again, generally speaking, sometimes no. But with my experience and maybe with our experience of like a lot of my 20s was spent on tour, and tours
Yeah.
do discriminate to January, February. So like I would see, the calls for work, or I would see the, oh my God, it's pretty quiet this year, kind of, Instagram stories or whatever. And I wouldn't necessarily kind of get it because I'd be 8 dates into a UK tour, about to roll into a 30-date US tour in the February. And it's like I never quite understood it. And genuinely, it was only until I moved to New York in May 24 that when that January rolled around last year, I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on? Like, I think I made like $400 in like that January, and I was and like living in New York and making $400 a month, I was like, wow, this is actually mental. But to your point of like turning it on its head and like trying to make something out of it, I eventually like I booked in like work in London, like re like I wasn't making money out of it. I was making like a couple of hundred dollars here and there, but just to like do
To
something.
do something. Yeah, of course, of
And
course.
like, and obviously for me, like to see family back home and stuff.
Totally. Did you say that you were over there when they reached out, or did they
I
request you to fly over? Because I know a lot of the times in situations like this, a lot of people will just say that they're in a certain place just to get the work in a downtime like this and kind of like make something for themselves and like make something for the portfolio and make that connection and like, take, for example, like the fee that they're making and then kind of put it towards flights and accommodation and stuff and kind of like break even sometimes just to like feel creatively fulfilled. Like I'm
Yeah.
curious if you've done that or that was maybe that situation.
That is exactly what I've done.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
just
I think it's beneficial, I think that's like so important to acknowledge and in that time period of like, oh, I don't really have anything, but I'm itching to be creative and using your resources to do something like that is also not really talked about.
totally, man. And my thing throughout my entire career has, it's the rule as I just as old as time, but just in terms of building connections and maintaining connections and being a nice person goes so much further than the work you create, which is hopefully good, but like
No, totally.
your vibe will go further. And I've met people, I actually met people in that January who I now have this year like really big stuff with, like
Great.
stuff
Love
that's
that.
like booked in already, and I'm like, and it's allowed me to not have the same January as I did last year because I know I have all this work on the horizon. But that was just because I literally met, flying to London, doing a
Totally.
shoot, blah, 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 and I made maybe $100.
It's so funny because I feel like every time we talk, it is more and more aligned of like who we are. Because this upcoming weekend, I'm actually going to LA, for the Grammys. Like Grammys, week is extremely popular in LA. Like there's parties, there's events, there is the Grammys, et cetera. And I'm just going, and I did have some stuff planned, as in, I had some stuff I was supposed to be shooting, and they ended up canceling it. But I'm still gonna go to kind of like make those relationships and like show face to the industry and like, give or try to make those connections during this downtime, while like everyone's there and doing the thing. So it's crazy you're saying this because I'm like, I'm literally doing this weekend, which is so cool.
I mean, I if you're not careful, I'll join you at this rate.
Hey man, it's gonna be a good time. And like I said, I think that like, it'll be nice to catch up with old friends that I haven't seen in so long, but also to hopefully make new relationships. And I think, I have this conversation with my partner all the time of at the age we're at, it's quite hard to have new friendships and new relationships outside of work. And I think that's something that like I always strive for. Because I think everyone says like, oh, when you're like in your 20s, you generally make those relationships that you'll have forever. But the older you get, generally speaking, you don't necessarily have those strong relationships anymore because everyone has those like groups of people that they rely on or they work with or whatever it is. So I kind of like challenge myself all the time to like do things like that,
I mean, this kind of brings me beautifully into the segue that, I mean, you did have a busy beginning of your January, man. The gallery.
Thank you. Thank you. I
Can
know it's well,
you tell the people about this and kind of
Yeah,
briefly about
of
the first
course.
three?
Yeah, I mean it realistically all started because of downtime. So yeah, First Three is a management company that I'm a partner on. We represent five photographers, and then we also have an abundance of people on the road that we project manage and, help with their logistics and scheduling and kind of like bouncing them from client to client. But then also helping with, their rights, their negotiations, kind of like mentoring them through the way of, this crazy non-fundamental lifestyle that we have, So yeah, that's a little bit about First Three. My partner is an amazing human. He works day in and day out to like, keep this thing running on the ground because for the most part, I try to balance a couple different parts of my life with shooting, obviously doing like some desk work at First Three, and then also my personal life. That's like the three things that I have going on at all times, which are like extremely, extremely important to me. But we've been doing First Three for roughly like 4 or 5 years, and I think every year is kind of like a stepping stone of learning what we want to make it. And initially it started as like something completely different than what it is now. We didn't represent creatives. We didn't really have that many people on tours. And then we kind of went through COVID and we were producing music videos and we were like outsourcing treatments for directors and like becoming more of a production company. And I could talk about it forever of like the adjustments that we've done, but I think that we've really like honed in on exactly what we want to do. And kind of like how we're operating it. But with that being said, we had this like crazy idea to just like, put together a gallery. I think it was back in like November or something. I remember Adam and I just being in a Waymo and like we were extremely caffeinated, like unbelievably caffeinated. And like we were just talking about like our next year goals and, had this wild ambition of, putting together this exhibition that, would be a collection of photographers that we admire, but also people that we work with. So it was 20 people, oh, sorry, 21 people, five of which were our photographers that we represent and manage. And then the rest, the 16, were people that we have worked alongside, but then also have been following and big fans of for like, a long, long time. So it was cool. It was like, I guess the way that I kind of explained it to people, because everyone kind of asked about my work being in it. And I was like, no, like I separate my work from First Three 100%. But I kind of looked at us like curators, which was like a whole different job. And it is a whole other job that we've never really dove into. But outside of being like the producers and, putting this whole event together, like we were curating like a body of work that like, was meant to be viewed as a body of work. And, it was pretty diverse from live images to backstage stuff to like portraiture shoots to editorial shoots. It was like insane. And it's funny because like I think that in my opinion, in a healthy business aspect of things, sometimes you like argue or like have disagreements to get to the best solution. And Adam and I were having like quite a lot of butting heads kind of a situation because of like which images we wanted to be in it. But at the end of the day, I think that like that's healthy because you're both arguing to get to the best solution. And like we ended up coming to an amazing curated piece of like, just music photography. And like, everyone flew out and it was like a big party. There was some amazing guests that came and the event was like more than I could ever imagine. So yeah, it was like a great start to the year. And I think that like, after the event, a lot of people like emailed us and they're like, hey, like we're so appreciative that you did that. Like it really fueled my fire. It like really got me excited for this year and like how I want to keep touring or how I like, want to get back into music photography or like how like other people inspired them or even like putting a face to a name was like a crazy thing. Like I've never met Andy Barron or I've never met like Matty Vogel. Like, it was cool to like see that connection in the community,
Do you think that's something that's in your future, a kind of like a curation role in some kind of form?
I don't know. I mean, I did really enjoy it, and it was funny because like I reflected after it and I was like, that is a job. Like it really is. And I do think that like, obviously art is really perspective based, you know, like the way that you perceive it is obviously very different than I perceive it in select works and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm like, I would be honored to be brought on by like another gallery or you know, something along the lines of that to do that, because then that means that they trust me and like how I kind of view art or like how I would put things together, you know. So yeah, I would love that. It'd be so cool. That's fucking awesome. That's sick.
I do think that like it's the kind of nature nurture thing that I always kind of battle with in terms of like taste, you know?
Yeah.
Like
No, of course.
I when I did No Gatekeeper a few years ago and
Yeah.
like kids message me on Instagram or whatever, they'll always be asking, you know, what how do I become a photographer?
Totally.
Whatever. And I think like okay, so like personally I think it's, you know, it's a nurture thing in terms of building taste, and I think kind of surrounding not necessarily everyday life, but a lot of your life with like good art and like being conscious of like what you're watching and what you're doing and like what you appreciate can like subconsciously really help you be a better photographer. Do you know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like I went and saw the new William Eggleston exhibition down at the David Swerner Gallery in Chelsea,
Yeah.
and it's so funny because Eggleston was like probably one of the first photographers where I was like, wow, like that is fucking nuts. Like,
Great.
but like the subject matter is so generally mundane, you know. It's just like a person in the street. It's a car. It's you know, famously like a trash bag. It's like the stuff like isn't particularly interesting, but it's just how he interacts with it. It's how he photographs it. It's the colors that, you know, come from, you know, the stock that he was using at the time, whatever. Anyway, all this to say is that, you know, I went to that gallery and I just got back from like a road trip in the south. I'd taken my dearest mother on a road trip
Yeah.
down through Mississippi.
Also, dying to hear about it, by the way, but we can obviously we'll stay on track here.
And I've got back and I've like looked at my photos and they're just Eggleston too.
Yeah.
It's
Yep.
just like I hadn't really, because I'd seen the Eggleston exhibition after I'd come back from this road trip, and I probably hadn't really looked at Eggleston's work for a little while, and but it's like seared into my brain, you know, like those images and those like interactions are just kind of part of how I see things when I pick up a camera now. And I think
Yeah.
having really good taste, kind of, you know, to what you were saying, is, you know,
Yeah.
it's a learning process, man. You know, like
No, totally.
watch a Tarkovsky film, go to the Eggleston exhibition, read a good book. Like it's
Not to cut you off, but yeah, it's funny because like years ago, I found myself surrounding, or sorry, I found myself around only things that I was shooting at the time, you know, and that was obviously just like musicians and like, you know, how they operated. But I never really had this sense of like what I liked. And kind of like what I've learned through the years is that like inspiration and taste and how you kind of move in your art is not just based around the genre or the subject of the or of the context of what you do, but it's everything kind of else. It's like, you know, I mean, my biggest inspirations lately is like interior design, like fashion stuff, like it's everything outside of music, which is funny. And like people will like come in into our apartment and they'll be like, wow, like this all makes sense, but at the same time it's non-music related things
For
as
sure.
a whole, which is like it was never a concept to me years ago. Like I never understood that. But I guess if like you're pulling inspiration or like, you know, constantly looking at, you know, live music photography or like behind the scenes of music photographers all the time, like you're kind of just like in this circle of, you know, doing the same thing over and over again. There's not much inspiration elsewhere, if you know what I mean.
And I think that just comes from confidence, doesn't it? I think once you
Yeah.
can, like,
Yeah.
I think you know, like, not to sound like an asshole, but like me and you could walk onto a music video set and shoot really good BTS, like, and we don't
Yeah. Yeah.
really
Yeah.
have to think about it. You know, it's
Yeah.
just kind of like, you
Totally.
know, I've done it a million times and it's all good. So I think I think having those outside kind of inspirations is extremely important.
Totally.
Because I can kind of see that with your work with like Sean, for example. Like, because I want to talk to you like a little bit about that, because obviously, you know, we've shared stories like with each other in terms of like working with really big names, but then trying to, I don't know, like bring out a different side of them that the public doesn't necessarily see, and your relationship with them, because your relationship with Sean started a while ago, right?
Yeah, it started a really, really long time ago. Actually, it started maybe like roughly like 7 years ago, or maybe 8 years ago. And I was just introduced to him through his last photographer, who is one of my best friends. And he was shooting Sean since he was like 15 years old. And it, you know, I was introduced to him just like as a friend. Like I went to his 21st birthday party, and like it was like a collection of times that we've like hung out. Like we've gone to dinner. Like I've like been to a bunch of their shows. You know, I've shot the shows for him, and you know, it all kind of just like led up. And it's funny because whenever he started dating Camila was looking for a new photographer or like to like help out. And they were like, oh, well, they're dating like Josiah, who was his first photographer. Like, why don't you just have Thomas do it? So then I did it. And then it's funny because then like I spent more time around them and on kind of more of like a work-based relationship where like I was on set with them, and you know, we would, you know, do photo shoots and go to rehearsals and be a, it was a little more work driven because they ended up doing like a couple of songs together. So, you know, he kind of like saw how I was like moving. And you know, obviously the relationship that I have with Josiah was like obviously the nail in the coffin with the fact that like after he left, seamlessly, whenever Sean wanted to start touring again, it was kind of like a no-brainer of like, oh, like, well, I kind of know Thomas, and like, you know, he could get any guidance he needs from Josiah if he needs it. Like if I had any questions, like I can also lean on his old photographer that was shooting him for years. And you know, it's kind of just like a seamless transition. But what I will say is that I do think it was like an interesting time period, because whenever Josiah was shooting him was when he was, you know, going past that teenager, you know, hump of life where like communicating with a teenager is quite different than like dealing with like a 27 or 28-year-old at this point. So like when I had met him, he was quite young, and you know, leading up until now, like there's two different ways of really, you know, communicating to like not only an artist but like a human at that point. You know, it's like life experience is very different, the age gap is quite different, what their likeness is very different to what it is now. And I will say that if I was to do and work with Sean full time 7 or 8 years ago, like we probably wouldn't be aligned like in terms of personal goals and like life goals and like where I was at. Because when I was like 25 or 26, when he was like 18, was, you know, I was like partying and like I was single and doing whatever I was doing. But now that we have the opportunity to work together when I'm 32, 33, and like when I started shooting him again, it was like I think I was 32, and he was I think 27 or something. But I think that like where we are both at in life just like made sense. Like who he was emotionally and physically was like so aligned with what I do in my life. And like my emotional state, like my physical state, like how I take care of myself. And you know, it does align a lot with kind of like how he moves. And like I said, I don't think that it would have worked out years ago, which is a crazy thought. But yeah, timing is everything.
Can I just go back just slightly, just in terms of that, the transition from you taking over from Josiah? Because what I don't mean for you to speak on Josiah's behalf or
No, of
maybe
course.
kind of tell his story, but like what, because I know photographers can get sometimes, I mean, not you and not me and not necessarily a lot of the friends I keep, but you know, some friends,
Totally.
some photographers get defensive. They get defensive of clients, they get defensive of like
Totally.
friends, like kind of to your point, which I'll kind of touch on in a little bit, but like the working relationship that you have with an artist, like is that a friendship or is it a work relationship? Is, and that's like a difficult thing to kind of understand and kind of translate sometimes. So I just wanted to kind of know as much as you're willing to say
Totally,
what
totally.
that transition looked like.
Well, it's actually quite funny because, like I mentioned, Josiah was always his guy. Like he was always just like from day one, his photographer. So like I had known Josiah even before he was working with Sean. He was on like Warped Tour and doing like all these rock metal bands, and I was in that kind of like that world. So that's kind of how we met. So I've even saw him working with Sean at a very young age, where they were playing like 100-cap venues and like small radio shows, in the Midwest and stuff. So I've kind of always went into, meeting his client as in like Sean at the time, just being like, oh, like you're his photographer. Like I obviously want to respect that with my friend. And I supported him through, I think they worked together for like 9 or 8 years together, like nonstop. Like it was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy tour that they just like went on and on and on. Then he would write a record, then he'd go on tour, then he'd write a record, then he'd go on tour. Like it was crazy. So like I was kind of like invested into it because Josiah's my best friend. So I was so invested the entire time, just like supporting him as like a creative. And just like you and I, like we can talk and kind of be transparent in terms of like where we're at, not only in our careers, but like how hard it is to be on the road so much. So like I definitely understood everything inside and out, to the point where like there was a couple deaths that he had in the family that Josiah called me and was like, dude, you need to get down to South America. Like my grandma just died. So like there was like so much trust there that like he kind of knew that I would never necessarily like come for his job. And I think that like that comes across pretty organically, like when you're that close to somebody. Whereas like sometimes in an industry like this, like it's kind of cutthroat, where like one day you'll be talking to someone and the next thing you know, they're like taking your job and you're like, whoa, what just happened? And not saying that happens a lot, but it
No,
is a possibility.
it happens, man. Like,
Yeah, no, it totally does. And I think that like I've always respected their relationship, and and I think that also it comes from the artist side too, being like, oh, like I'm gonna also respect my employee or my photographer that I've been at it with them for years, So I don't know. I think it's like a two-lane street, but at the end of the day, I forgot what happened exactly, but I think Josiah, as an artist himself and being a creative, being on the road all the time, he just wanted to get out of touring, and it then just led into me just kind of like, naturally coming in, which is crazy. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think all of the relationships that I have, and I'm, same with you, it's like, it's so organic. It's so like recommended. You're recommended by this person, or like this person spoke highly of you, so I want to hire you. So it's all word of mouth based, as you know. So at least my entire existence in this industry is, which is crazy to think about, but it is, it's true.
Totally, man. And like, I remember we were speaking kind of outside of this call once, which I'm kind of keen to talk a little bit more about. When I'm touring, for example, with a 1975, it's a lot, that we have the if we're talking about the last tour, it was a lot of dates, man. Like 180 dates across 2 years, and it was full on and like. Barely, like the days off we had, we'd be traveling or we'd have like
Totally.
one day off here and there and whatever. Whereas like your situation with Sean sounds quite different. You have time in between shows where you're spending a lot of time with him or sometimes without him, and shooting those intimate moments outside of the shows. Like, how do you like just stay locked in for that man? It's like, because you're still away for a long time. You're just not like,
Totally.
it's just not as like, the scheduling just isn't as brutal, which is really nice in
No,
cases like
totally.
that. But Yeah, can you just
Yeah.
kind of talk me through what that looks like?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's funny because I, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of just gonna say something along the lines of what I just did. It's like you know, Sean used to tour so much, and at where I'm at in life, and you know, this is something that I've come to a realization over like the last couple of years, is that like I physically and emotionally cannot handle being on the road 300 days a year anymore. You know, I think that there is a big difference of what that looks like mentally on me versus, you know, something like what we do now. So, like I said, I actually don't even know if I could physically or mentally or emotionally do what he used to do years ago. And somehow, some way, I was just thrown into the situation of being able to like have this downtime with his team and him and do these shows slowly. So it actually kind of like works in my favor, to be able to like focus as much as I could, have a pretty good balance of being off, but then also being on when I need to be, and not being overworked. So yeah, I guess like with that being said, like for me, those days off may vary. You know, there's some days off where like, you know, obviously we're shooting and we're kind of like bouncing around from place to place to place or whatever it is. But for the most part, I found myself like trying to be present as much as possible and like understanding the people around us of like how they're moving and how they're feeling versus trying to make everything like a work situation. You know, and it starts sometimes for me with like understanding his friends that travel with us and like how they're feeling, because you know, once one person is like kind of down or they're like super hyped or excited on something, then like obviously it's like a domino effect, you know, and then other people are excited. So like I try to like lean on understanding people's feelings and like how they are at that very moment and see like what everyone's up to. And then another thing that I actually try to do is like I try to bring the perfect camera for the perfect situation. So like, you know, and I'm sure you can relate that like sometimes bringing a big camera around is just like ridiculous. Like like we don't need to be going to like this beautiful beach that's like this local beach that nobody goes to and bring this massive camera. You know, I try to adapt accordingly based on, you know, the situation. So like I would pr much prefer, and I'm sure the entire camp or team would try to prefer, you know, it not feeling like a work situation. And like reading the room like that is something that like you can't really be taught, but like you kind of have to like dive deeper to like understand it, you know? So yeah, I think that there's like a couple of things about it, you know, if that makes sense.
Did you have an experience where you did bring like the
Yeah.
70 to 200 and you were like,
Oh
ow?
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, not necessarily with that team, but on other teams. And you know, I think like for what it's worth, like I don't know. I think the comfort that I try to give as an artist myself is the most important thing, and making your subject feel that is undeniably like, you know, you can't fake it, you know. So yeah, and I think that that's like a really big thing that I try to do, because you know, bringing a big camera around, it makes it feel like sometimes they have to like perform, and like being performative is just so draining, and it's so just like,
Oh, yeah,
So
totally. I mean, you can feel it, can't you? Like, if you like, there's nothing more than that frustrates me than, you know, when you're in a kind of natural environment and you raise your camera to kind of
yeah,
capture it and you,
and it just dies.
yeah, and you just
And you're
feel
like, oh, I
the,
just ruined
yeah, you
it.
like feel the artist just go, oh,
Totally.
you know what I
But
mean? I mean,
totally,
me
totally.
and I've been working with Remy Wolf a little bit over the last kind of year, and like we kind of laugh about it now because it always takes her like an hour or two to kind of like get
Totally,
used
totally.
to me being around again. Because
Yeah.
like I like initially when I first started working with her, like I would genuinely I would lift the camera and she'd like literally pose, and I was like, oh.
No, be natural.
Yeah, and like obviously when you don't know them that well, you can't really say that much initially. And it was only like, you know, a week into the tour, I was like, Rem, like, come on, what are you doing? Like, we need to, like, let's just
That's
pretend that not.
incredible.
And it takes a long time, man. Like, I saw Rem in November. Shot some. She was recording some music in New York, and she did the thing again, and like, and I was like, Remy, no, let's not do this again. She's like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but you know, I think going back to what you said is like it's a two-way street of like they have to trust you and you have to trust them, and like you said, you couldn't initially say, hey, stop doing that. But I think the more that you were shooting with them, you know, the easier you're able to communicate, like, hey, you shouldn't do that. This is like the style of work that like I do, and this is what's going to be a better product, you know.
For sure. To kind of steer the conversation a slightly different way, but on that point, do
Yeah.
you? There's one thing that I find massively frustrating as a photographer that I battle less so now. I'm hastened to add, less so now. But you get, chosen for a job, because of who you are, what you do, what your work looks like, and then you get given a brief that is the polar opposite
Yeah. Yeah.
to you and the work you create.
Yeah.
I've had that a couple of times. I mean, I've been really lucky with the 75 down the years that they've kind of allowed me to shoot what I think is cool, and then they have
Totally.
kind of like built that into their aesthetic, as opposed to the other way around. But I've
Totally.
definitely been booked for things where they're like, oh no, can you do it a bit more like this? And I'm like, well,
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can try, but it's like asking like a fucking painter to do a sculpture, because I'm just a
Yeah.
bit like,
Yep.
I don't know, I don't really know how to shoot any other way.
Yeah.
I'm just
No,
like,
totally.
yeah, is that, you don't, obviously don't have to say names or anything, but have you kind of encountered that, and how do you kind of get around that?
You know, I guess there's two ways that I've actually looked at this. I think the first thing I'll say is like the biggest compliment any photographer or any artist could get would be to just do their thing. You know, I think that's like seamlessly the biggest green light of like, yes, this project is all yours. Go for it. We trust you because of your portfolio and kind of like your vision and like your taste and, you know, doing things your way and how you would execute it, which like obviously dream client, dream tour, dream anything to do something like that consistently. But in a perfect world, it's sometimes doesn't happen like that. Kind of what you were saying about like, you know, getting a brief and then them kind of saying, oh, maybe do it this way. One thing that I am trying to promise myself this year is to try to take like more risk in doing something like that. You know, like sometimes I kind of think, oh, am I allowing myself to be too comfortable here and like doing what I think is right? Or am I gonna risk, you know, kind of doing things their way, you know? So it's funny, like this year I've already kind of had these conversations with a couple different people who approached me and they said like, hey, you know, we want to do, I pitched on a couple like music videos that like were definitely out of my comfort zone. I've definitely pitched on like a couple like video kind of like docu-series moments that were came to me that are not necessarily also in my portfolio that like I was willing to take the risk. But yeah, I think that that's like I don't love it or hate it. It just depends on how comfortable you want to be,
For
I
sure,
think.
for sure. And
Yeah.
to touch on pitching, because I
Yeah.
don't think this is necessarily something I've really spoken about on No Gatekeeper at all, really. It is
Yeah.
pitching, and like, it, honestly, even to me, like, pitching is like, I've been a full-time photographer for 11 years, and pitching is like, I'd say like I started doing it like 5 years ago,
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
and I don't do it that often, you know. It's like,
Of
I
course.
there are certain things that I have pitched, and again, like, I did a like an ID editorial piece with Remy Wolf, which was pitched in, and then I was like, oh yeah, like maybe like I should pitch in to, like, more things that I, because I grew up kind of shooting editorial stuff, right? I kind of
Of
mainly
course, yeah.
at the NME, and they would give me all these editorial pieces, and I really
Yeah.
miss kind of shooting editorially now. Like it's
Yeah.
so rare that I get sent on like a
Yeah.
2 day thing for Rolling Stone or
Totally.
ID or Dazed or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been going kind of like pitch crazy, hoping that something will land. Because what does that process look like for you? Because mine feels quite kind of caveman-esque.
Yeah.
In sometimes it'll evolve to like a keynote kind of thing.
I mean, of course, of
But
course.
sometimes it's literally like a written email with like two attachments
Yeah,
of being like,
totally.
I want to
Yeah.
do this. Here's a
Yeah.
reference and here's something I've done similarly.
Totally. Well, I think I mean, I would like to think that it all stems from like a passion, you know, whether it's, you know, you see somebody slowly rolling out music, or you see somebody slowly doing something, and you're like, wow, that just inspired an idea that I have. And like, what would that look like if I were to do it? You know, and I think there's a couple ways to like approach it. But I think like also understanding that a pitch could easily fall by the waist and never get picked up. But also, you know, shooting your shot was just something that we've always done years ago. You know, it's kind of like how everyone fell into this industry. You know, it was like cold emailing and reaching out to artists and whatever it is. It's, you know, it doesn't matter how you look at it, it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's just with nowadays, like putting a brief together with like a keynote and some, you know, some words jotted down on a PDF is kind of similar. You know, you're just using your resources and like creativity to like, you know, get it across the line rather than like a cold email, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, I love it. Like, I think it's so cool.
It's fun, right? I kind of because I think
Yeah.
the idea of pit, you know, spending an hour and putting a pitch together and then like
Totally.
not getting a fucking reply or like not getting the job or whatever is
To
like
of course, of course.
it can be a bit of a kick in the balls, but
Totally.
I think it's a good skill to learn regardless of how many
Yeah,
you
yeah.
get, you know. I think like even if you're a creative and you don't necessarily make it as a photographer, but you want to work in a creative field, I think like
Totally.
working at a product like a creative production company that and you have the ability to be able to put pitch together is like
Yeah.
pretty important. Like,
It's yeah, it is. Yeah,
because I
yeah.
remember I got booked to shoot my first music video in like 2021, I think it was. And I haven't done tons since, but like they like asked for like a storyboard and like a deck and stuff, and I was like,
Yeah. What
yeah, I was
the
like, what the,
is
like,
this? Yeah,
oh my
yeah.
God. Like, I mean, you know, it was a low budget music video. The stakes weren't
Totally.
necessarily very high
Of
or whatever,
course.
but you know, you still want to apply yourself to kind of the
Yeah.
highest standards. So when people are like asking for things that just seem very like normal and you don't really know what it is, it's just a bit like, oh yeah,
Yeah.
I'll get it to you Monday.
Yep.
And you're just like Googling
Yep.
best software to create, you know, like
Yep.
it's
I mean, and nowadays there's like so many, you know, softwares and like websites that like will basically give you like a template on how to get this done, you know. And I know that you said it's like obviously a skill set to make these decks, but I also consider it like an exercise, you know. It's like an exercise like for yourself to like, you know, create something that, or not necessarily like create something, but like to build out, you know, like a narrative or like a storytelling visual representation of what you want to make. So yeah, I don't know. I think that like there's, I think a lot of the reason why I do pitch on things is to just keep the creative flows or juices going, and to see like what people are into nowadays, you know. And like I think that's also a quite interesting concept of like, will they like this because of what I saw online of like maybe what they posted? Because you don't really have the context of which they're going. Like, you don't really know the creative direction. So if you're just like cold pitching on things, like you're kind of throwing a dart at the wall, like seeing what sticks, you know? So I don't know. It's fun.
Do you cold pitch artists?
No, like
No.
I probably wouldn't cold pitch an artist at for like, I try to like hone in on a specific deliverable, if that makes sense. So like, if it's an artist, I would then look at kind of like what they're doing and then hone in on like, oh, okay, cool. Like they just released a single last Friday. Like maybe they have another single coming out in like the next couple of months, which means they probably want like a visualizer or like a music video or that a new photo shoot, and then pitch directly on a specific deliverable, rather than like, the overall project, because it seems like the project
It's already
is
done.
probably already up and going,
Yeah. And do you then go and find their management, their production team, that like who are you then pitching that into?
Lately, I'll be honest with you, I've been going more towards the editorial route, like looking, and that's definitely like a me thing, and I'll explain that, and I'll explain why. But I've been reaching out to more editorial people lately, pitching ideas based around talent, because I like the idea of pitching an idea that doesn't necessarily have guidelines. And like that's kind of just where I'm at in life, where like, we kind of goes back to what we were just talking about of, you get this brief, it doesn't really align with what you want to do, but kind of what I'm doing, or like what my goal is sometimes, is to pitch on something that doesn't necessarily have like a big budget, but it has creative freedom. And that's what I'm looking for right now, like in my own personal work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, so, but what does kind of life look like for you, kind of get, for over the next 5 years? And I know that's like a big question, because I feel like, I think me and you, because we've only really gotten to know each other since I moved to New York, and it's like, I think we've bonded quite quickly over. We've arrived at a similar place in our careers at a similar age, and you are like, well, I've seen the world, I've shot the biggest shows there possibly could be, I've created work I'm really proud of, now, like, what does that look like? Is it a continuation of like staying at the top and being like the best music photographer, like music photographer in the world for like the next like 10 years, and like people will speak about you in the same way that they speak about like the huge photographers from the 80s and the 90s or
Of
whatever?
course, of course.
Or do you like pivot and like do you want to like put the camera down and what we spoke about earlier, be a curator, be a creative director, be kind of staying that, or totally fucking drop the whole thing and like get really into gardening.
Hey man, we can do both, the gardening and the photography.
Yeah, because I mean, I battle with this like genuinely every month. I'm like,
No, totally.
because you've touched on this a little bit, like I can't be 40 and touring. Like
Totally.
I just can't do, and that's in 8 years. Like I just can't, like, unless it's with like fucking, I mean, God forbid he's still playing shows, but like someone like Bruce Springsteen, where it's like, we're doing three shows in Jersey, I'd be like sick. But like
Totally.
I can't be doing like 20 dates in Southeast Asia and like carrying a
Brutal.
fucking think tank bag, or like I can't do it, do you know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. But yeah, I think like, it's funny, 'cause like I've definitely explained this to my parents quite a bit, that because they're like, wow, like it's crazy you're still on the road. And it kind of goes back to what we initially said about the balance of, my workflow over the last like couple years with Sean and myself is, although I'm gone, there's so much time to like focus on what I want to prioritize sometimes, and like, the balance of not getting burnt out and like not getting exhausted and stuff, because we have those down times. But with that being said, I think that like the more I get older, the less I'm working on the road, which is a really nice balance. But I would say like the end goal, I think there has been a time period where I always say to myself, especially in this December, January time period, of like, okay, let me try to get out of music. And then like I explore other options of like, fashion and like, advertising and stuff. And then I remind myself, like, that's not really my world. I'm so embedded in this music adjacent scene or industry that I feel like everything is here and I love it, but how can I pivot within it, and what that looks like is that I don't know in the next like 5 years or so, but I would like to think that there's alternative options of potentially going to be a creative director or something at like a record label or like doing art direction, at, I don't know, like a Spotify or something, So I do think that although a lot of people don't understand where this could take them, I think that the network we're building right now will forever be with us and will forever support us in terms of like, what we want to do. And that's goes, it just goes hand in hand with like our careers, I think. And, somebody trusted us to initially start this whole crazy idea of tour photography. So like, why wouldn't somebody entertain the idea of like us being a creative director or an art director or even like an in-house photographer at like a record label or like, like an Amazon studio or a Spotify or something. There's so much music in corporate world that like people sometimes forget about. And that kind of goes hand in hand with being home, So I do think, speaking on behalf of like my portfolio, like my work, I do have a lot of goals to add to it, which like I don't necessarily feel like I'm done with shooting. But I do definitely do understand that there is bigger goals in terms of like titles or companies that I would like to potentially work with like full time, to then officially get off the road. So, but as of now, like being freelance, like I do love it. I do love challenging myself and I do love, the idea of just being creative all the time, like whenever I can and kind of having my own schedule. But, eventually it'll come to an end and that's that. But
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I think it's the age-old thing of like security and happiness kind of thing. And I feel like it's a constant balancing act of like, if for example, Spotify turn around tomorrow and they offer you a six-figure wage to go and work on creative at Spotify, but it's corporate America, man. Like you're going to be working like fucking
Yeah,
long
a
hours,
ton.
man. It's the and I think you're the same as me. Like when I'm busy, I'm like really fucking busy. And like,
Totally.
you've got to shoot in Cannes and then you get back to New York for 2 days and you gotta go to Tokyo and then you're in Tokyo for a week and then and it's like, wow, this is fucking lit. Like what the fuck? And then there's also like, and I'm not just talking about January, February, like there are, sometimes like it's definitely happened to me in the summer. Like if I've got like if I'm shooting like nothing in like I don't know June, for example, and then I see like all my friends are at like Glastonbury and they're at
Of
like
course.
Lollapalooza and they're like in South America and I'm like what the fuck, like Jesus,
What am I
like
doing?
I would like I'd kill to be like at that corporate job, like guaranteed to be making like really good money every month, but I think because I've been a, like a freelance photographer for so long now that I'm so used to my free time,
Totally.
and like when I my partner who works in academia, like she works so much, like it is bananas, like how many hours she puts in to like just to like survive and exist and strive and whatever. And I kind of feel guilty sometimes and I end up being like a bit of a house husband where like you know what, I was actually before this call I was looking over some old interviews with you just to see if there was any things I could pick up on, and I'm like I've gotten so into cooking
Oh, dude, yeah,
because
the
like
best.
because I you know like if my girl's getting home from work and she's been a you know she's been away for like 10 hours, 11, 12 hours, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna make like a sick dinner for
Oh
when she gets
yeah.
back. Do you
Oh, when Natalie gets home, there's dinner on the
know
table every night.
what
Every night when I'm home, she is
I
spoiled.
mean? That's what, and that's kind of what I mean. It's the, would you be willing, and I'm not just, I'm asking myself this question as well. It's like, would you be willing to give up that, like, openness and like time for the security of like a corporate creative job, you know?
Yeah,
And
totally.
like I go back and forth all of the time. Like there are some
Course.
that like if you ask me tomorrow, I'd be like, yeah, I would do
Yeah.
it tomorrow.
But in 2 months, you might be like, no,
Yeah,
it's all ebbs and flows. Yeah.
2 months. If you asked me on the same weekend, I'd be like, ah, nah, it's like a fuck that shit. Like I grew up
Yeah.
listening to punk. I can't go work for a corporation. Do you
Yep.
know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, and I don't know if I'll ever arrive. I think as with my work and your work, I think sometimes things just kind of fall into your lap a little bit, through hard work and through connection, through
Of
whatever.
course.
But like these opportunities sometimes just kind of present themselves, and you're like,
Totally.
yeah, I don't know, I guess I'll do it for a bit, so you see what the vibe is, you know?
I think like kind of where I'm at and like what I keep reminding myself is there's so much stuff that I have yet to do, and like that curiosity is always dangling in front of me of like the what ifs. You know, so I try to remind myself that although that there are those jobs out there in which, I mean, crazy enough, like I have been interviewed for like, you know, record label jobs and stuff like that. Even last year, you know, like I've gone into offices like to take those meetings, and I think that like to me, I can't ultimately decide something like that until I actually give it my all and then decide if I like it or not. But I feel like I'm not willing to, you know, talk either down or up upon something that I have yet to like experience myself, you know, because like in theory I might hate it, but like also in theory I might love it, you know. It's like I don't know. Like I think that like I think I have to eventually forcefully do it to then either say, wow, that was great, or like, great, I'm really happy I did that, but fuck no, I'll never go back, you know. So yeah, that's kind of like I have a buddy who just left a corporate job after being freelance like his entire life, and I called him the other day, and he's been out of, I think he quit like about a month ago, and he was at a management company doing creative direction, and he was like, I'm good. He was like, corporate life, not for me. He was like, worked so much, like I'm ready to just like be a dad. And I was like, that's awesome, at least you tried it, you know. So
totally.
you know, there's always, like I said, I think the biggest thing that I keep reminding myself is that, like, yes, the curiosity is there to like expand and like do other things, but is it necessarily for me? And like, I won't know that answer until I potentially do it, you know?
For sure, man. Yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for all this. It's
Dude,
been
of course. It's over.
really, but I mean, I still have a million things that I want to talk to you about, but we're already over an hour, so I don't
No,
want to
I get it.
longer. Yeah, I mean, it just as like a closing note, is there anything? Because I think the general audience of this podcast at the moment is people that want to get into our world that or are in our world and want to get to the level of shooting Christina Aguilera and Shawn Mendes. They want to do the world tour with the 1975.
Totally.
Like, what is your like general, advice to these people? What does our life look like? It's not all the glitz and glamour. It's all the other stuff in between, which I think we've mostly covered.
Totally,
But yeah,
totally.
I mean, do you have like a parting wisdom for these people?
I mean, I think that like, you know, to even get into this world and like to get, you know, your portfolio, your names in front of like these bigger people, like, you know, I do, I'm a firm believer that it really takes just, you know, being a positive, you know, nice person to get to those positions. Sometimes the work doesn't matter, and I know that's like a crazy concept to think about, but you know, the work will always and can always be better regardless of who gets the job. But I think that like, you know, your relationships with people and like, you know, how much care you put into a project like goes a really long way. You know, also with not being like overbearing or anything, I think that like naturally things come to good people, and like that's obviously my intuition saying that, of yeah, that's like my belief. But and you know, that's kind of like brought me this far, so like I would like to believe that it can also bring somebody else that far. But yeah, I just think like forcing yourself out of the comfort zone is, the second best thing I could give advice for. Doing things that you might not necessarily would have thought you'd ever try, but doing it for the experience and kind of risking the idea of, oh, maybe this isn't going to be for me, or maybe it is for me, and it's kind of piggybacking off that conversation of, the corporate job situation for me, So I just try to remind myself that like all the time of, sometimes taking that risk will lead into bigger and better things that I eventually want to do. And I do believe that, I'm sure there was like some pivotal time periods in your career where you're like, man, I might have burned that bridge, but now here I am. And I know that moment for myself too,
Oh,
so
dude. Yeah, it's
yeah.
and it feels like the at that moment, like it feels like the scariest thing in the world.
Oh, of course. It feels like, yeah, like no, and nobody can help you,
Yeah, and
it's
because
crazy.
you're like fumbling your way through it as like as a young person, you're like trying
Yeah.
to figure out like people's like dynamics and like
Of course.
how to like deal with like like big egos or like
Mm-hmm.
delicate egos or like whatever. It's like it's such a interesting way to grow up. Like
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is.
I genuinely have 10 different personalities. Like
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
and
Like,
so
well, that's
like
why I mentioned the three different things for me. I was like, first three, my own personal work, and then my personal life. That's how my brain operates.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But like, but I mean, even in terms of like working, like, how
Oh, yeah.
with like
Yeah.
working with Matty is so different to how I am working with Remy and working
Totally. Totally.
Mumford and Sons or Charlie X. It's like
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if people could necessarily pinpoint anything other than like
Yeah.
being polite, being on time,
Totally.
nice.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, being on time. Yep.
Delivering like photos before the deadline,
Yeah.
never
Yeah.
having a fucking tour manager call you to like get to
Yeah.
the fucking
To
lobby.
wake you up or something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
it's just like I one thing that I've probably said a million times on this podcast and other episodes is like a photographer is like a luxury on a tour, like
Yep.
as an artist you have to make X amount of money to be able to afford like a photographer.
Yeah.
And like the last thing as a creative that you need to be doing is like making other people's lives more difficult.
Totally.
That you just have to be like the most seamless, the most kind of easygoing. Oh,
Oh,
I'm on a
yeah.
different, oh, you've put me on a different flight as the artist? Totally fine.
Easy.
I'll see you at
Easy.
the other end. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Yep.
All of these things get thrown at you is
Yeah.
you just have to kind of be willing to take it on the chin and maybe
Yeah.
burn a couple of bridges along the way, accidentally,
Totally.
maybe on purpose.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, it's all kind of part of growing, and it's fun, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
No, I
change
love it.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the word to maybe to, maybe wrap that note would be maybe to just be like able to adapt as much as you're able to allow yourself to adapt.
Sure, for sure.
Because like you said, like all your different clients, you kind of have to like be a certain way around, and reading the room and being able to adapt accordingly is like, something that you can't really teach anyone. So,
Yeah,
man.
just gotta do it. Well, everyone, that's been Thomas Falcone, the legendary, the one and only New York's finest.
Thank you, sir. Likewise.
Thanks so much for coming on, dude. I
Dude, thank you.
really appreciate all of your time.
Thank you.
And yeah, these episodes are gonna get rolling, so there won't there now should be
Amazing.
like a year gap in between the next
Amazing.
one, and then yeah, I'd be saying the same.
Great.
So
Well,
yeah.
if you need any recommendations or like any people that you want to reach out to that you don't maybe necessarily know or like anything like that, obviously don't hesitate to, hit me on the side and be like,
Yeah.
hey, do you know this person or do you think this person would be good or whatever?
For
Just
sure. Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
I feel like you have a good eye on things, but
For sure. I mean, I have some New York specific questions that I need to ask you post this recording. So,
great.
yeah. All
Great.
right. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening, and I will see you very soon.
All right, bro.